blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 139, the first four stanzas. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all, from rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call. 1-4 of Psalter 139.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the second epistle of Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3. The first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. John Van Sluis, who received surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and as we have read out of thy word, that one day is with thee as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Thou art eternal. Thou art from everlasting, and thou art to everlasting. And thou hast been our creator, our maker, and thou art yet our upholder, the upholder of the whole universe. Even as thy servant did say, in which hangs upon nothing. Lord, thou, when it would please thee, could so easily in one moment have cut us off in the week that lies behind us. And and thou dost still extend to us our life. Lord, we have no impression of our great sinfulness and of thy great long suffering. As we have read it out of thy word, Lord, could it please thee in this morning to impress us therewith, that it may become for us a wonder that we have 2 feet of ground to stand upon in this world, when thou wilt open to us a little bit of that fountain of iniquity that lies within us, and when thou wilt show to us a little bit of the holiness, of the righteousness, and of the justice of thee, then it shall become a great wonder. And Lord, that is what we need, every one of us. We need it for the first time, and we need it by renewal, because we continue what our Father has done, to lift ourselves up in pride against thee. And it is so necessary, before that we have to meet thee in that great day of days, that we may be humbled in thy sight, and that we may be brought to take our rightful place in the dust of self-abasement at thy footstool, O God of the heavens and of the earth. We cannot come there. Oh, we cannot bring ourselves there for the first or by renewal. For in our heart dwelleth all wickedness. Oh, give to us that place. Lord, become too strong for us, and bring us in the dust before thee, and that we may come to see that we have sinned against a holy and a righteous, and also such a good-doing God, that thy goodness may break our hearts, and that the love of thee may be planted within us, so that we might learn to grieve, that we might learn to mourn on account of our transgression. Oh, could it please thee also to open the necessity and also the preciousness of thy dear Son. Thou hast sent him into this world, and it was for the ungodly. Lord, that there may come a fitness and a suitability, that we, when we may accept of our own guilt, of our own punishment, that thou art righteous on account of our sin, oh, that there may come such a suitability in thy dear Son, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and who did come to heal all that were helpless, and who had brought themselves into that condition Thus, in our guilt and in our wretchedness and in all our inability, that the might and the power and the willingness of the precious Savior, oh, that it may become for us also. And Lord, that those that are destitute and that can see no way, that they may be given a little expectation, that the poor may have hope this day in thy house of prayer under the preaching of thy precious word, and that we may be given also when we go over this world with no desire, but a desire for the things of time and sense, that we may be awakened out of our death sleep. Lord, that thou would come from thy side when the impossibility lays on our side. Remember all that are afflicted. Be with him and that is in the hospital far away. His wife also with him in this day, as we understand. Wilt thou give him a thankful heart that thou hast made all things well through the surgery? And wilt thou heal him further that he may receive strength in his body? And Lord, when it is in such days as these that our heart ought to be so tender, oh, that thou may work yet within his heart also with his wife, and that thy word may make a deep impression. Give him a blessing this day in that place where he is. And wilt thou remember all the afflicted and the sick ones, those that must stay at home this day, that are sick, that may be in pain. Lord, wilt thou give relief? Wilt thou give healing? And wilt thou bring up to thy house once again? Remember the widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that are lonely, the unmarried. Remember fathers and mothers and children. Oh, give love for one another in the short space of time that we have as to be families, and that there may be a diligence on the part of us as parents. Take away all our shortcomings and convert our children despite us. Lord, remember us this day. Be with all thy servants as they go over the length and the breadth of this world. In this day to bring thy word, oh, bring it with power. Bring it with thy blessing. And wilt thou show that thou hast sent them to give a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Wilt thou remember also our consistory. Be with us in the week to come. Remember us in the meeting that we hope to have in this week. Give us brotherly love. Give us wisdom, diligence, and faithfulness in our official labors. Wilt thou give thy blessing on our work in the midst of this, our congregation? Remember him who must return home from the Netherlands in the day of tomorrow, our brother elder. Lord, wilt thou give traveling mercies? Remember also our brother deacon in all the difficulties and troubles that are in this life that have come upon him in the week that is gone by. And Lord, wilt thou be near to him? They are earthly ways, but they are ways in which thou dost speak, Oh, help him then. And wilt thou be near to him? And wilt thou lead and guide him in thy ways? Lord, help us this morning. We are together. We are around thy holy word. And thou knowest that we have not run without thy sending, Lord. And thou hast sent us. And thou wilt have a purpose in it all. But we need thy help. And we need thy blessing. Oh, we look up unto thee in this morning hour. Lord, stand on our right and on our left hand. Strengthen us in mind and body. And give thy grace in our heart to fill us. And with a double portion of thy Holy Spirit, and to give that this word may be effectual in this morning. Oh, that there may be some who may be wrought upon, and that may see, that I may have opened eyes and ears to hear, and that thy word may this day be brought into the heart. And Lord, look upon thy children. Give us wisdom to feed thy flock, and to feed thy sheep, and to feed thy lambs. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 15, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Infant lips, thou dost ordain wrath and vengeance to restrain. Weakest means, fulfill thy will. Mighty enemies to still. We announced that the extra collection at the last song today is for the learning and living. Psalter number 15, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Congregation, in this world, there is so much misery, so much suffering. We, in the prosperous country and the prosperous days in which we live, do not know half or even less of the misery that is in this world. And really, who could bear to know it all? It was not this way in our creation. That means that all that misery, boys and girls, think on that often. All that misery that is in the world, that is a result of sin. Oh, how awful, awful, awful are the consequences of our sin. And what an evil that it is that the Lord would visit sin in such a way, with such suffering, and in the end, the wages of sin that is death. That is not only for the world, nor it is also for the true church of God. And actually, we read in the Bible, it is for them in a very special way. Because the Lord Jesus has declared it unto his disciples that in the world ye shall have tribulation. That is for some in an external way, for the one more and for the other less. But it is for every one of that church in an internal way. That is, that church that is involved in a warfare. It is, while they are in this world, a church militant here below. And sometimes that people are so burdened in that warfare that they become weary of their very life. That is not because of this sin or of that sin, no. But it is because of the fountain. The fountain that continually casts up mire and dirt. Jacob, at the very end of his life, then he had to declare, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Then it is a people in themselves of little faith and of much carnality. So little of that which is heavenly dwelling within their heart, that it is a burden, that heart that is cleaving so much to all those things that are here below. Paul even had to complain of this body of sin and death. Oh, how different that a people wish that it could be, that they could live a life close to God, that they could live a life of holiness, that they could live a life of uprightness. David says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Is that also what lays in our heart? Oh, we had a great grandmother. I did not know her, but it was said that she feared the Lord. And then it is said how that one day she was so grieved. And why? Oh, she said, because of a childhood song that was in her heart and she could not get it out. And as she may now, if that really was so, oh, she may now be delivered from it. And now the people, they also look for a day when they may be delivered from it. And that is found in the words of our text, which with the Lord's help we wish to say a few words about in this morning. Out of 2 Peter 3, verse 13. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So far, the words of our text, a new heavens and a new earth. First, the preparation for this new heavens and the new earth. Second, the prophecy of this new heavens and this new earth. And third, the blessedness in this new heavens and new earth. A new heavens and a new earth. First, the preparation for it. Second, the prophecy of it. And third, the blessedness in it. Nevertheless, we look. What is that? That is to look forward to something. That is to have a certain expectation. So it concerns something which is lying in the future, something which is coming. And at the same time, it is speaking about a longing, a desiring, a waiting with expectation for this thing that is coming. And then we read, we look. Of whom does that speak? It speaks about that true church. It is speaking about God's own people, thus that true church that has an expectation. They are looking for something. They are waiting for something. So that has to do with, as we heard in the past, faith, something that is coming in the future. And now Peter, he says here that that church is looking for something that is, he calls, new. Boys and girls, maybe you often do that too. You are looking and you are waiting for something that is new. Well, we all delight in those kinds of things. And we look forward when your father, when your mother promises you something new, then you look forward to receiving this thing. But then it does not stay new, does it? No, soon then you are using it, and then it is becoming worn, and it is becoming old, and sometimes it is breaking, and then you feel something of what? You feel a disappointment. Oh, disappointments of the expectations that we may have in this life, they are just one part of all of the misery that man has to experience in this world. And that is not only when we are young, no, but that is also in greater and more important things in our life when we become old. Is that only in the world? No, that is also in that true church of God. Thus, everyone that has to experience the many, many disappointments that there are in this world, young and old. But now if those temporal things are all we have, and those temporal expectations are the only expectations that we may know in our life, then what happens when all these things are coming to nothing? Sometimes, then there are people, when those expectations, they are falling away, that they are actually committing suicide. They are taking their own life because of a great depression. Oh, what an awful thing to be so without hope in this world. And as we say, that is not only for the world that there are disappointments, but that is also for God's true church. And yet there are those that may have so many disappointments and that may experience the truth of what the Lord Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And we know and can read of those who have suffered great persecutions in this world, and yet they were not without hope. And why were they not without hope? Because Peter writes in our text, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Thus that church, amidst all the earthly disappointments, that is still waiting for something and looking and expecting something, and that is expecting something which is new. It says, a new heaven and a new earth. Solomon, he asks, is there anything in this world whereof we may say, see, this is new? He says, it hath been already of old times. So that means, actually, that there is nothing new under the sun. But yet Peter is speaking about something new that is coming. That is, that new heavens and that new earth. Thus, if there will be a new heavens and a new earth, what is going to happen to the present heavens and the present earth? We read that in the Word of God. We read what Isaiah says, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down, and as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. John writes similarly in Revelation 6, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Thus, this present earth and the present heavens and the present whole universe that we read is going to be removed, that it may make way for a new heavens and a new earth. Several times we read in this chapter that Peter speaks about this present world being, he says, dissolved, seeing that then that all these things shall be dissolved. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with burning heat. What does that mean? The word dissolved That means to loose something that was fastened. And thus it is speaking many times about a prisoner, a captive. When he is bound in the prison, and when he is loosed again, so he is allowed to have freedom, he is given once again his liberty, then we would say his bands, they are dissolved. He is let go free. And thus Peter is using this word to speak about the heavens and the earth. That is, that he speaks about the heavens and the earth at this present time as if they were a captive. Just as if the heavens and the earth and everything that is here below, that is bound as a prisoner, that it is not at liberty. And as a captive, then the earth, we can read in the Word of God, that is also groaning. We read that in Romans 8. Because Paul writes about this, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature, that is actually the whole creation, that is the animals, the plants, but also the creation itself. So the whole universe, for the earnest expectation of the creature, that is of the universe, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Thus Paul says, the creation which is under us, the very earth and the very heavens, they are, he says, groaning under a burden. And why does he say that the earth and heavens are groaning? He says, because they were made subject unto vanity. That is, that the earth upon which we are, that is being abused. That it is subject unto vanity, made under, as it were, the slavery to serve the purposes of evil men and of the devil himself. The creation that was not made for such a purpose, the creation that was made for the great glory of the Lord. We can read that all nature praises God. And what happened? When man fell, then man, he has remained, although under some infirmity, but he has remained still the Lord over this universe. And Lord over the universe with an evil heart. And so that everything we do, that is to the abuse of the blessed and great creation of God. That all that we are using, that is, we are using for a purpose for which it was not created, a worldly purpose, an earthly purpose, an evil purpose, or everything that we touch, congregation, that is, as it were, crying out to God under the abuse of our sinful hearts and hands. And we can read how that the Lord is ascribing even to the very creation itself, the animate creation, the moving creation, but also the inanimate creation, that which does not move, the mountains, the trees, etc., that the Lord is ascribing to the very creation some of the characteristics of mankind. And what does he ascribe to the creation? He ascribes to the creation a will. A will. And he says that the earth that was made subject to vanity, but it was not made subject to vanity willingly. That is, that was not the choice of the earth. That was not the choice of the animals. No, the earth was not subject unto vanity willingly. Oh, congregation, do not abuse the animals, boys and girls. Never abuse an animal, because the animals, they have to suffer. And that is not because of their own sin, no, but that is because of our sin. And so we may feel a sympathy for those animals who suffer on our account. It was not their choice, the Bible says. Then it is a wonder that the Lord did not give the animals in the creation dominion over us. Because we see that even the animals, they do not do as man does. To lie male with male and female with female. O wretched mankind, under which this very creation is groaning. And then the Lord does not ascribe to the earth and to all the creation only a will. But the Lord ascribes to the creation also, we read here, a hope. A hope. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected this same in hope. Thus even the creation, the Lord says, is waiting. Even the creation itself, as it is groaning, that has received a hope. The trees, the mountain, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the works of our hands, they are waiting. And what are they waiting for? Oh, they are waiting. We read it here. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. When the sons of God, they shall become manifest. What day is that? That is the great day of judgment. The great day of judgment. That this whole world, not only the people, no, the world, the creation itself, that is waiting for that day when man shall be judged. And what does Peter say? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. That is what it waits for. It waits congregation, the creation, to come out from under its burden. The creation waits to be delivered from our sinful hands. It waits to be delivered that it may receive freedom. That it would not have to be subject to our vanity anymore. And it will come. The Lord has promised, as it were, that it will come to the creation. And it is written to our shame. to your shame and to my shame. All once God did do it. He delivered the whole earth from the wickedness of men. That was by the flood, we read it here, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And yet, the Lord left sinful men upon the earth. And it has come so close to that time when that earth that is ripe for the judgments of the Lord once again. And He will do it. He will do it. That is that God's servants, they have to preach today as Jonah, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That God's servants have to preach today, even as Noah, who preached for 120 years to that wicked world as he built the ark and as he showed to them and set before them a place of safety. The Lord will do it. He is going to do it again. And how? That is what we read in this chapter. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. They are kept in store by that same word of God that made them. The Lord is now upholding them. The Lord is now, it says, reserving them unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All this world and all that is therein that will not forever groan with pain, as we read, as a woman in travail, but God is going to deliver the whole creation, the elements of this world, all the mountains and the trees and the rocks and the minerals and all that is in the skies and all that is the work of our hands, all of our houses, all of our projects, young people, boys and girls, all going to be delivered from their groaning. All those things in which sinful man delights, in which sinful man thinks are going to last forever, calling his lands after his own name, then the displeasure of the Lord against sin is going to be revealed, and the elements are going to be released from their burden, and they will be purified from us. How does Peter know that? He says it is according to his promise. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. That means that this was prophesied already of old time. And where do we read that? We read that in the book of Isaiah. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And a voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of old days, or an old man that hath not an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Then he says it also in the following chapter, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, and so forth. Thus prophesied already in old time by the prophet Isaiah. And that is one of the many prophecies in the Word of God, which is subject to a multiple fulfillment. That is, that often a single promise from the Lord that is fulfilled in a number of different ways, often being fulfilled by degrees in times and seasons in this world, and then often not a final fulfillment until that people reach eternity. And so it is here. Because what does Isaiah prophesy about in the first place? Well, then he is speaking about that time that the children of Israel will come back and they will be delivered from that land of the Chaldeans. And they will be brought again into their homeland. They will be brought again into Jerusalem. All that was to the Jews like a new world. Then they were delivered from all their bondage. They came out of ruin. They came out of exile. And that old world that was passed away and dissolved. And then everything that has become for them so new. Or then Isaiah, he speaks in the first place about the temporal mercies. But now listen for a moment, and then we read what Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thus he is also speaking of the passing away of the old world and a coming in of the new world. But is that then in a temporal way? No, that is in a spiritual way. Then he speaks about spiritual mercies. Then he speaks about regeneration. Then he speaks about a new birth. Oh, that is a new world. That is a completely new world. That is a completely new life. Then that old life that is dissolved. Do you believe that, young people? Those places where maybe today you have a desire to go and you know you do not belong. You say that is lying in my heart. All that old world in that new birth that just completely passes away. Then you have no desire to go with those old friends anymore.
and you have no desire to go to those old wicked places, no, then you have new friends. And they are the people of the Lord. Oh, then there is another place you like to come that is in that house of God. Oh, then those old books, all those novels, all that fiction material, oh, you will see it is so useless. Oh, then there will be another book. Oh, that is the Word of God. Oh, then you will begin to read. How does the Lord convert His people? A new life. A new life. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. So, then we hear about a literal fulfillment, but we hear also about a spiritual fulfillment. And now the third one. And what is that? That is what Peter is speaking about in our text. That is the last fulfillment. That is the culmination. That is the end. That is the eternal one. And the millennialists, they have a dream of some earthly fulfillment here in this world. But the apostle here speaks about something else. He speaks about the eternal state of that church of God. Because it is after the judgment, and then it cannot be a carnal happiness. But now that state of God's people, that is going to be entirely new. Entirely new. From that which they may experience here below, then we can read in the Word of God that they will receive a new body. No, not that it won't be their same body. It will be the same body. But that body will have new characteristics. Who shall change our vile body, we read from Paul, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. How will it be with their spirit, we read. John says, behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Thus, in body and in soul, we read of a new song. And they sung a new song. And that was before the throne and before the four beasts and before the elders. And no man could learn that song except those who were redeemed by that Lamb of God. Nevertheless, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth. Thus, it is a confirmation that Peter makes of the things in the Old Testament. But also what we read here, that he confirms the words of the Apostle Paul, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which there are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Some things, he says, hard to be understood. We don't know what everything that will be like in that new heavens and that new earth. Will that actually be literally a new earth? And will there be animals and will there be plants? And what will that all be like, congregation? Oh, then we don't know all of these things. We read of certain things. And I saw, John says, a new heaven and a new earth.
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a jasper stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal. And then finally he says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Some things hard to be understood. Some things. But then there is something that is not so hard to be understood. No, there is something that is very clear. And what is that thing? That is the blessedness that shall be in that new heavens and that new earth. Let us sing first 275, 3 and 4. This, all ages shall record for the glory of the Lord. Thou dost hear the humble prayer. For the helpless thou dost care. Thou eternal art and great, heaven and earth thou didst create. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Changeless thou shalt live for a. 3 and 4 of Psalter 275. in which are some things hard to be understood. We all feel that. That is the way of prophecy. And later than we shall see, later than we shall understand. Those things that are hidden, they are not things that we ought to be prying into, or that we might seek. That we might seek to experience what that new earth and that new heaven will one day be. But now there are some things easy to understand. And that thing that is easy to understand, that is enough for the true church of God. And what is that? Nevertheless, we read, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. That is very clear. Cannot have two meanings. Temporal and eternal one. No. It has congregation one meaning. And that is very, very simple. Righteousness. What is that? All that is when a man is in the state that he ought to be. That is, in a righteous state. That is, when he is right with God. When his condition that is acceptable unto God. And when that relation between God and his soul, that is a good relation, righteousness. In the great resurrection, then the bodies of men, you and I, they will arise. And they will join with our soul in that eternal state. Thus there will be physical circumstances, because we know that the Lord Jesus has arisen not only, he has ascended not only in his soul, but he has ascended also in his body into heaven. And so he is going to come again. Thus there will be physical circumstances to that new heavens and that new earth. But whatever that those physical circumstances may be, or when there is righteousness, then that true church is satisfied. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. All that means that God's church longs for that new heaven and that new earth. Oh, then I hear some of them saying, wait a moment. Then I cannot say that I have so much longing in my heart for this. Nor do I dare to die. Do I dare to stand before God? Do I dare to come into the judgment, even with everything that may have happened within my life? All that is true, that is so often the case in the life of God's people, because they are not yet established in that faith. A congregation, there is not one. There is not the least one of the true church of God which is a stranger of that desire. What is now the desire of a newborn soul? Or is it not that you might once again be right with God. Oh, is it not that you may once again come into His favor and into His communion? Oh, is that not the thing that you sought for in the day that the Lord stopped you? Or is that not the reason that you did not dare to continue to go in your former ways anymore? And what then became your greatest burden? Or was it not that separation between God and your soul? Is that not the thing that made sin so grievous unto you? Is that not the thing that caused you to see the great evil of your sin? Or is that not what made you not to dare to step over a straw anymore? Was it not that you desired to be righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless? Or is that not the way that you sought when you walked in the way of repentance and when there was a reformation in your life? Or is it not this righteousness, this righteous state with God, that became such a burden and that caused you to be so cast down? Or was that not the great lesson that the Lord had to teach you, that all your righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags? Was that not your great despondency when you began to see and that you were not able to come into that communion anymore? And that you were not able to walk in the way of the fulfillment of His righteous and His just demands? That there was not only an outward sin, but that there was a heart, there was a fountain of sin within, and this flesh that it clung so to the ways of sin? Oh, was it not the burden of your soul that as the Ethiopian cannot change his skin and the leopard his spots, so that you could not do good who were so accustomed to doing evil? But what does the Lord Jesus say? Blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Congregation, is there not also a people that may experience that? When you had to despair of yourself as one that was accursed of the Lord, and when you had to cry out with God's servant, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" When the Lord open something of that way, and when the Lord showed to you another righteousness, when He showed to you the righteousness of His only begotten Son, and when you may see something of that blessed obedience in an active and a passive way in which He went over this world, so that there was such a complete fulfillment of His holy law, and so that all the debt that was completely washed away in that precious and all-atoning blood that He has shed upon that accursed tree, or a robe of righteousness bought not only for others, but also for me. And now what does Peter say? Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, then maybe, then that people say, no, I dare not to die, and I dare not come into that judgment, and I dare not stand before God. then your life is so full of questions, so full of perplexities, and that you can be such a riddle unto yourself. But deny now that you know nothing of a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness, and then I will tell you that you are no child of the Lord. The congregation, when you cannot deny it, even the smallest part of it, then I dare to say that you are one with Peter, who looks for a new heaven and for a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What is the greatest grief of the church? That is sin and separation. And these two things, congregation, sin and separation, they shall be taken away for that true church in that new heavens and in that new earth. Listen. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in that Lamb's book of life. Oh, listen, that body of sin that is going to be taken away. The great judgment, then there will be a separation. A great separation as was never here upon this world. And as was so many times the perplexity of God's church, as Asaph did not understand, then the sheep and the goats, they are going to be separated one from the other. A congregation, there is also going to be another separation. There is going to be a separation within the heart of the true church of God. Because in this life, we said there is a warfare. Then there is a new life. And there is a new man. But there is also the old man that is remaining to that very, very last breath of that people. But when the Lord is coming once again, then the Lord is going to make a final separation. And that old man, he is going to be separated from that new man. And then he is going to be entirely, entirely cast away. And all unrighteousness that will be cast into that eternal abyss. And then there will be a great gulf that is fixed between that new and that old man, so that they cannot come together ever, ever again. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, what is the second grief, congregation of the people? That is separation. That is separation between God and my own soul. But in that last day, then he himself will stand within that breach. Oh, we read it. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And thus, the people, they're going to receive the desire of their heart that was born in their new birth. The first desire, that was the blessed communion with the Lord. And that first desire, that they are finally going to receive.
And then those which are alive, then they will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so they shall be forever with the Lord. And then they will receive much more than they ever asked and ever expected. Because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither crying nor sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for old things are passed away. We read it. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it has to do with our long home. It has to do with eternity. And we have by nature no thought of eternity, what our whole long home shall be. Oh, give to us an impression that it is all temporary and passing here below, that it will soon be dissolved, that great blessedness of thy church, who shall dwell in righteousness, who shall dwell in a good state with God. Oh, give us a desire, a hunger and a thirst that shall be satisfied only when we may know that we are not our own, but that we belong unto our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive all our sins in preaching and in listening. Give thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 420, stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. His haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. 1 and 2 of Psalter 420.
Shall I
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.